Welcome to Words of Inspiration with Reverend James T. Brown, Jr., the lead pastor of Tabernacle of Worship. Let's join today's message in progress.
Well, family, today, as we celebrate, we're going to continue in our series titled Storm Chasers. We're continuing in our series, Storm Chasers. And I'd like for you to open your Bible with me to the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at chapter 6 today. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. Daniel 6 and 18. And here in our text, the word of God reads, it says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they may not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought forth those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Today, we're going to speak from the subject, He's Got You. He's got you. He's got you. As we look at this passage, we must also take a look at the history of Daniel and King Darius and the fellow leaders in Babylon to truly, really understand its context. We see that King Darius set over the kingdom 120 princes, and over them three presidents, of which one was Daniel, and he was the most preferred. The presidents and princes were to rule in such a way that Darius would never be harmed nor undermined. In other words, no one would be able to come and circumvent the king, or to cause threat or harm to the king. But King Darius trusted and respected Daniel more than anyone else, because he saw an excellent spirit in him. Daniel's commitment and faithfulness to God was evident and well known throughout the kingdom. Everyone knew. exactly how important, how much he loved his God and how important he thought his God was to him. The favor that he garnered from the king was envied by the other leaders and set the princes and other presidents on a path to plot against him in order to have him removed. I want you to understand this. There are times when you strive to serve in excellence, doing your very best, that others will see you as a threat, trying to undermine your position. Let me say that again. There are times when, as you strive to serve in excellence, doing your very best, that others will see you as a threat. You will be a threat to them, trying to undermine their position. Let me share with you something that happened to me years ago. Years ago on a job that I really enjoyed working there. One of my first, in fact, my first job in my field that I studied. I got this job, and when I got it, the president, or I should say the senior vice president of the department who hired me, we both went to ACC schools, so we had an affinity. We always talked about football. And he said, "Listen, James, I want to help you. This is what I'll do for you. If you come here an hour early every day, I'll train you in what you don't know, and I'll teach you everything that I know." This guy, he was a young guy, but he had been with the company for 10 years. He had been in this department for 7 years. He started from the ground up. At the time, things were just becoming automated. So he knew what it was like looking at pieces of paper and calling around places and trying to help loan officers and all that kind of stuff. And now that things were being automated, he understood what it was like to look at the market and see trends and things of that nature. He said, "I'm gonna teach you everything I know." Of course, I took the chance. And I went every morning at 7:30 a.m., it was a good 45-minute drive, but I left early and got there. We didn't start work until 8:30, so I was there an hour early training, taking notes, and then I would start working. And after I would finish working, I noticed, because I didn't have a chance to get to my desk earlier, that there were things I needed to do at the end of the day, so I stayed later. And plus, traffic was so bad, it was no point in leaving at 5. So I stayed there and I kept working, and I worked sometimes till 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock. And then I would leave, because then it was only a 30-minute drive. So I just kept working and did all of that I knew to do, trying to do the very best I could. And then one day, while we were sitting there just talking, I was still working, listening to my coworkers, they turned to me and said, "James, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to one-up all of us? Are you trying to make us look bad?" And I'm sitting there, the last one hired, trying to do my best to catch up with where they were, because they've been there for years. So they could afford to leave at 5. If they want to leave at 5, that was their business. I wasn't trying to control them. I wasn't their boss. And I'm just trying to do my job. And I understood that I wasn't, how can I put this, the corporate shade. So therefore, I had to continue to work hard. And I looked and said, "Listen, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to learn and do the best I can. Is there any way I can help you today?" And all while I did that, they sat there and they looked and said, "Okay, well, James isn't playing that game. And he's just trying to do his job, so we're going to leave him alone." But there's times when you're trying to do your best that people will be filled with envy. They'll be filled with envy, and they'll look at you and they'll think that you're trying to undermine them, that you're a threat to them when you're just trying to do your level best. And I want you to understand that. Here, looking at Daniel, since Daniel wouldn't follow the corrupt and immoral practices of his colleagues, they decided to use his devout commitment against him. They wanted to turn the tables because of his commitment. See, some of you all have experienced that. during this time of consecration. I know some of you have been sitting there while you've been on your fast and praying and reading your word. Somebody, you're sitting there eating your salad, and somebody comes by, right by you with a bag from Wendy's with a double with cheese in there. And they open the bag as they pass you. Say, oh, I'm sorry. Does this bother you? And you're sitting there, my God, what is wrong with them? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Oh, I love lettuce. I love lettuce. I love carrots in the name of Jesus. So you're sitting there. You've gone through all of this. But people will do that. Here, Daniel was faced with that, being devout and doing everything he was trying to do. They wanted to turn the table and use his faith against him. The other presidents, princes, governors, and councils conspired to put together a plan to have King Darius to sign a decree stating that whoever should pray to any other god or any other entity other than King Darius himself would be thrown in the lion's den. Here it is. They were buttering up the king. He knew no better nor any difference in his ignorance. And so as they did that, making him feel important, but he was not even realizing that they were equating him to a deity or God. So he let them do this thing. Also not understanding that they were setting up the president that he truly trusted. Setting him up. So as Daniel continued in his normal practices, remaining faithful to God, the other presidents and princes caught him praying and told the king. Listen, Daniel heard, he saw what was written. He saw the new rules and guidelines. He saw what was written and signed off by the king. But he made a decision that he still was going to pray to his God. He bowed down to God 3 times a day. He didn't decide to shut his windows and try to close the door and to pray in silence. No, he left the windows open and still bowed his face to Jerusalem and prayed to God. And he did it each and every day. Each and every day. And when he did it, it was almost like they were sitting outside his window with their iPhone or their Android trying to hit, we got the tape. We got him on tape. And they're going to run into the king and say, listen, king, we got him. We got him. Listen, we got him doing all those things. But let me get you to type 2 words in chat for me. Type these 2 words. Stay true. Stay true. Listen, I understand that they may be trying to catch you. I understand they may be trying to undermine you, but you need to stay true to your faith. Stay true to who you are and stay true to your God. Here, Daniel was not afraid of what they were going to do or trying to do to him. He was determined to stay faithful to God. Type it. Stay true. Stay true. And then once they brought this news to King Darius, the king was brokenhearted. He was brokenhearted because he had to honor his decree and he could not go against it. Now, earlier in scripture, we saw where Nebuchadnezzar, he actually overturned something that he had written and put in place. But now in this instance, Darius could not do that because they signed and wrote it in such a way that it would be done in perpetuity, meaning that this would be done beyond him. Even beyond other kings that would come in, they still had to stick to this. And here he realized what had happened and he's like, oh my goodness. And he was broken hearted. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And this is where we come to our text. Look back with me at verse 18. Verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Here it was, the king. King Darius, he fasted all night and couldn't sleep because he was worrying about Daniel. He was worrying about what happened to him. He was terrified. He understood that those lions were several hundreds of pounds each. There were several lions in the lion's den, and they threw him in. He could only imagine what had happened to his flesh once he touched bottom in the pit. And he was going through all of that. The king was racked with fear and dread, for what could have happened to the one he most admired. So when the morning came, he jumped up early in that morning and he ran to the lion's den. He ran to the lion's den. Look with me at verse 20. And in verse 20 it says, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. The king cried out in a mournful voice, hoping to hear Daniel reply. And I want you to understand something. He did this lamenting. He was mourning, anticipating not to hear anything, anticipating that everything that he had discovered and thought of in Daniel had died that night. But then Daniel replied, and Daniel's purposeful reply was twofold. First, to let the king know that he was well and unharmed. That's the first thing he wanted him to understand. And then secondly, to let him know that he didn't hold any ill will against him.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing to you. If you're in the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for our regularly scheduled services at Tabernacle of Worship. You will also be able to get this entire message. Please feel free to visit our website at www.taboworship.org. That's www.taboworship.org for more information.